The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he told them to take nothing for the journey, nothing but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not have a second tunic. And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." And so they went off and preached repentance, and the 12 drove out many demons. They anointed all who were sick, and they were cured. The Gospel of the Lord. I've been trying to begin my homilies with some exegetical explanations, some insights into understanding the Word of God. I'm not sure this is helpful, but it has been my practice. So let me look at some background to this reading today, which comes from the book of Mark. In the time of Jesus, he would have spoken Aramaic. Aramaic was a common language amongst the Jewish people. They also knew Hebrew. Hebrew was the language used in the synagogue. You might remember in Luke's gospel there in chapter 4, we are told that Jesus goes into the synagogue in Nazareth and they hand him the scroll of the prophet Elijah, and he reads from the prophet. He's reading in Hebrew, so clearly he knew Hebrew. Most of them would know Greek, maybe some Greek at least, since the Gospels, the early church Gospels, are all shaped in Greek. And since Greek was the lingua franca of the Roman Empire, all the people in the empire spoke Greek, and to do commerce outside of the small country in which they lived, they needed to have Greek because that was the widespread language of the empire. It's called Koine Greek, by the way. It's common Greek. It's not sophisticated, it's not classical. And the Gospels are shaped in Koine Greek, except for Luke. Whoever Luke was highly educated, very sophisticated. His Greek is classical. If you read Greek, Luke's Gospel is classical Greek. The others are Koine Greek, which is a common Greek of the people. When Jesus chose the 12, he chose very ordinary men. And the women who followed him were ordinary women. He didn't look around and say, "Let me find the 12 most intelligent men." He didn't do a resume search to find out if they were talented. For some strange divine economy, he selected these 12. And his followers, those that followed him, were not highly educated people. Even Jesus himself, in his humanity, was not highly educated. He had the languages, because everybody had the languages. But he wasn't schooled in an advanced way, such as Luke was. So these are very ordinary men that he took to say, "I'll send you out two by two." And the two by two is probably meant to reflect the book of Numbers, which means you had to have two in order to testify to something. If one person went out, their testimony was not accepted without corroboration. So that probably accounts for
the notion of sending them out two by two. They were ordinary men. Now, so let me look at what this means to me in my life, and perhaps it might find an echo in your life. Michael Buckley, a renowned theologian, some years ago, wrote a reflection on priesthood and on seminaries. And in this, he begins his reflection by commenting on the corporate world. In the corporate world, we look at resumes. We say, well, Jane was a 4.5. In college, she was a valedictorian. She has strong belief. She has management skills. We'll hire her. She'll be good. She'll make the company successful. John is a firm believer. He's a natural leader. He has these incredible leadership qualities, so we'll select him to join our company because he will help to sell the product. He's a natural salesman. And Buckley bemoans the fact that we tend to take the economy of the corporate world, the management style, and the selective process, and bring this into the seminary and bring it into the priesthood, saying this man is highly intelligent and he's a strong leader and he's a very convicted person and he's reliable, he's predictable, he'll make a good priest, he'll be fine. And Buckley suggests that we're using the wrong measures. We shouldn't be asking how strong he is. We should be asking how weak he is. Has he known loneliness in his life? Has he known failure in his life? So that he can relate to people who are failures. Has he known being shut out in his life? Being rejected? So that he can relate to people who feel rejected or left out. Has he needed to be forgiven in his life? Is he conscious of his failures? So that he will understand the failures of others. So we shouldn't concentrate on how powerful and how strong the priest did, as in the corporate world where we're looking for a leader in the priestly life, and in out of the seminary, we're looking for servants. Not the powerful leader, not the one who produces, not the one who is impressive, but the one who is a servant. We're speaking about the servant first, and then the leader. In the corporate world, we're speaking about leadership. But in the priesthood and in the seminary, out of the seminary, we must train priests to be servants. And we're not doing that, he claims. And there's good reason to understand we're not doing that. There was a lead article in the New York Times this week that I'm sure many of you read about the future of priesthood in the United States. And in this article, they speak about the priest just ordained in the last 10, 15 years. And these young men just ordained now said they're young, they're confident, and they're conservative. And that's the formula that's the strength of the priesthood. He says, wrong formula. And from the evening of my life, I can look back over my life, and I remember when I was very young, I was 24 when I was ordained, I was very clerical. I was young, I was confident, and I was conservative. And then somewhere in the journey of life, perhaps early midlife, or you know, midlife, we begin to think about things and wonder about ourselves, I began to discover who I really was, the person, the man, the humanity, a person hidden from myself by a clerical image. There I began to discover my own poverty, my own weakness, my own need for forgiveness, my own failings, my own loneliness, the emptiness of my life, so that perhaps in this awareness I would begin to understand the loneliness or confusion or struggle of many people in the community we call church. It can only happen when we fail. And that's why Buckley speaks about it's not the strength, it's the weakness, it's the sense of being fully human that really shapes the priest who is meant to be a servant. And look at the journey of the apostles. In today's gospel, they're sent out for the first time, and they're given power, but the power they're giving is not their power. He says, take nothing with you. You will be led by the power of Jesus Christ, and if you heal somebody, it's not your healing, it's the power of Jesus Christ healing somebody. So don't be overconfident, and don't be prideful, and don't covet the power. The power is given to you to be shared. And they'll come back and they will speak about their success. But they're not ready for mission yet. They have to meet Jesus Christ in his failure. They have to see Jesus Christ weeping over Jerusalem because they have not heard his voice the time of their visitation. They have to understand that by worldly standards, Jesus was a failure. In a divine economy, that's where we meet the power of Jesus Christ, not in worldly conquering. They will see Jesus Christ suffer alone, will see him abandoned. They themselves will falter. They will walk away, they'll be confused, they'll question, they'll be caught in unbelief. They will be lost. Until the Jesus Christ raised from the dead appears to them and the power of the Holy Spirit is given to them. And in their humanity, they will find that their weakness reveals the glory of God. Keeping in mind that the 12 spoken about in the gospel today were not priests. There's nothing in the Last Supper that says they were ordained priests. Besides, we're not sure how many people were at the Last Supper. That's a conversation in itself. I mean, would there have been women there at the Last Supper? I remember years ago visiting my favorite catacomb in Rome, Santa Priscilla. If you go to Rome, go to Santa Priscilla. It's on the Via Salario. It's best catacomb in Rome. And there they have a very early imaging in a fresco of the Last Supper. And there was an elderly nun, used to be, she was the guide. And would you believe at that Last Supper, there's some women sitting at the table. I said, sister, does that mean there were women? Oh, no, Monsignor, no women. We don't know, but there's nothing about ordination at the Last Supper, so that these disciples are sent like you're sent, like I'm sent as a person. In your humanity, the gospel today speaks about you and it speaks about me. That we are blessed, we are sent. We're not going to depend on the things of the world. We're going to depend on the power of Jesus Christ. And the power of Jesus Christ will only appear through our humanity, through our weakness, through our failures. Because only then can we reveal the imaging and the love and the infinite care and understanding of the God whom we follow. So Buckley makes a very strong statement about priesthood and about lay people called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And he affirms this in a quotation from the letter to the Hebrews, and I lifted the quotation here so that we will understand what he's saying. For because he himself, the great high priest, has suffered and has been tempted. He is able to help those who are tempted. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset by weakness. Accept your humanity. Accept my humanity. We'll falter, we'll make mistakes, we'll need to be forgiven. We need to belong. We need to be bonded. We need to be alive in our weakness and witness the power of Jesus Christ. Not through our perfection, but through our failure, where we experience the wonder of God, the struggles we have in life, and our dependence on God's infinite love. That's the teaching of this gospel. It's a teaching about disciples, about your discipleship, about my discipleship, how we are called to be servant people, not to make judgments, not to exclude people, not to separate. Where in your family do you need to express your weakness? Not your judgment, not your expectations. Where in your family can you see your own poverty and embrace somebody else in their poverty? Where in our church can we meet humanity meeting humanity, the broken world meeting a broken church? Where in the world can we find followers of Jesus Christ who are truly servants, not judges, not people who draw lines and exclude others, but servant people? That's the teaching of the gospel. He calls ordinary people, like you and like me, just ordinary. I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, about the sacrament of the ordinary. Amen.